1 o'clock hour on a Victory Monday in Kansas City. Hope everybody's having a good start to their day, middle of your day, I guess. For some of you, maybe you're fortunate you're maybe an hour or two away. Got going a little bit earlier today. You guys can hit us up.
Some people work that early morning shift.
Some people
too.
Work that like 5 to 2 or something like that.
I actually wouldn't mind that shift. I think people are too hard on mornings. I don't mind getting up early if that's what it means to.
You're up early with the kids anyway, I feel like, right?
My kids are early risers. Kind of always have been. I don't think I can work back on that now.
Not a morning person. You know that. I am not a morning person. Not a huge fan.
Is there, I just out of curiosity, is there like a scientific study behind?
I'm sure
some people are better in mornings
or
evenings.
Without looking,
or is it just personal choice?
I'm sure it's definitely personal choice for sure. And I'm guessing yes, there's a study for everything, so it would not surprise me if somebody studied why certain people, whether it's age, whether it's a lot of different factors. I'm sure there's something like that out there. But anyway, you guys can interact with us on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line 913-586-7965. We'll get to the audio fun bag as we do every Monday. Some of our favorite sounds from the weekend, whether it's NFL, college or anything else, that's coming up in just a bit. But let's talk more about Rashee Rice, who set a career high in catches last night. He was simply sensational. Another 100 plus yard game, of course, had a touchdown as well. He currently leads all players in yards after the catch. That's 200 of them, by the way. Leads all wide receivers in missed tackles forced, 9. He is off to a sensational start in his sophomore campaign. And we've talked about why do we think, you know, why are the opportunities more prevalent now with Kelsey? And this matchup against Atlanta was always setting up to be good, but he did it in week 1. You know, it's a little bit different if it was just this matchup. He's done it every week. Yeah, this has been who he is. Now, Atlanta plays a ton of zone defense. Rashee Rice has been one of the best receivers against zone in football going back to last season. So the formula was there for him to have a massive night, and he did, man. He was really, really great, and he has the second most receiving yards in all of football right now.
Actually, I think, and he has the first most receptions and first in yards after catch. So it's not just, you know, like you gave some of the stats that like are impressive, like the 200 yards after contact or the, you know, most broken tackles. All those things certainly help, and they are a part of Rashee Rice's game. But, I mean, he's, like you said, second in the NFL in yardage and first in catches. So he's right at the top of pretty much every receiving category in the league. And honestly, at the end of the year, I think we'll call Rashee Rice what he is, which is something we're afraid to admit usually early in the seasons. I think he's a top 10 NFL wide receiver. I can name a handful of people I'd be like, yeah, okay, due to current or most recent examples of seasons, they probably have the edge over him, like Tyreek Hill and a few others. But then when you start getting into the nitty gritty and we got to start making arguments between, hey, is Rashee Rice better than, you know, like Diggs for a long time or DK Metcalf or some of the other names that you would have mentioned in the top 10 in any given year over the previous years. I think by the end of the year, everyone will universally agree that Rashee Rice is a top 10 receiver in the NFL. And that is a crowded group.
It is.
Really crowded group.
Just trying to think off the top of my head. We know there's the guys that are obviously going to be there. But last year, if you just view it off of not receiving yards, but The very opinionated PFF grading system, because everybody thinks it's like some like scientific thing. It's really not. It's still an individual watching a game.
Yeah,
they just have a grading system, but it's still one person. Based on their system, last year, Rashee Rice was the 14th best. So not like
he's third best right now, by the way, in Pro Football Focus's receiver rankings.
So based off of that, saying 14 to 10, no, that's not crazy. Now we're also seeing just the flat-out production that we can all see without having an expert eye or anything like that. We can all watch and see what he's doing. What's great for the Chiefs on a bigger picture is that later on in the year, does this allow Travis to finally have the breakout performance? Is this help worthy? Does this help Carson Steele? I think the answer is yes, because at some point another team is going to say, all right, we're not going to make it this easy. Now, he might be at that level now, Cody, to your point where it doesn't matter. You can try what you want. He's still going to get his.
Yeah. People try to cover Justin Jefferson and they still don't.
But right now, I will say whether it's the design wide receiver screen in the flat, they ran it like 5 times yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
he is just wide open most of the time when he's catching the ball. And then he's breaking tackles to add to the, you know, the yards after the catch. But it's not like he's going up and having to make a ton of contested catches. He's usually wide open. He's finding ways to find separation, to find the open space in the zone like he did yesterday. As far as like the top 10, where can he be? You know, at the end of the season, I mean, we know there's some guys that you're not going to surpass, probably, right? Like Tyreek Hill also was added. Nico Collins is having a very good season. Like
he's the leader of yardage in the NFL.
Hill, Nico Collins, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jefferson, Lamb, A.J. Brown are guys I would put above him. But
Devontae Adams still, Amon-Ra. I mean, this is where you start. And then there's the young guys, right? Like Marvin Harrison Jr., who's in the top 10 of most categories right now. But again, I know at 10, you're essentially just muddying the waters. You're throwing out a whole bunch of really good wide receivers. But, I mean, look at his track record is rock solid. He came in as a rookie wide receiver, a guy who didn't play the first 8 weeks because he didn't start playing starter snaps until after 8 weeks. Finished with almost 1,000 yards as a rookie in Andy Reid's system, and then in year two is pacing for double that in his second year in the league. I mean, there's no part of what he has been doing that doesn't suggest he's getting ready to take that leap. The only guy who's been better than him this year is Nico Collins. He has essentially been Justin Jefferson in this early going. And there's other guys too. Malik Nabers is having a great year.
Yes.
Some of these other young guys that are stepping up. But he's in that category. And I think what I like about it is what you're saying is, at some point this season, what's going to happen is a team is going to, and I think, make a mistake. I think they're going to walk into a game and they're going to like, well, we're not letting that guy beat us. They got no Isaiah Pacheco. They got no Hollywood Brown. We're putting our best hat on Rashee damn Rice. And we're not letting him come out and beat us. And that's when Travis Kelce is going to beat them to death. Like, they're going to make a mistake. And they're going to take, for 1 second, one NFL team's finally going to convince themselves that, fine, we'll let Travis Kelce beat us if he's capable anymore. And then he's going to sneak in there because Rashee Rice has opened us all up. I am a little depressed because I see how well it's working. Like, Travis Kelce hasn't mattered. Rashee Rice has been so good. Damn, Hollywood would have been really a perfect compliment.
Yep.
Not to be a bummer, but like Hollywood would have been a perfect compliment. I see how they were trying to build the offense, and honest to God, it was perfect. It just,
and that's one
because
thing we
of
have
the
to,
injury, you can't do it that
it
way.
It is one thing we have to keep in mind if you're like, hey, the offense is kind of sluggish out of the gate here, specifically the last 2 weeks, and why are they still having these issues? Just remember, all offseason they were planning on having an offense that did feature Hollywood Brown. Oh, now their offense doesn't have Isaiah Pacheco. So they're having to make some adjustments, like a lot of teams are, and so it's a work in progress. And yet, they're work in progress. They're still 3-0. That's the beautiful thing. It's a work in progress, but and later on in the season, of course, they will have to be better, but the track record says they're going to. They're going to get this thing figured out, and their defense is already playing at a high level.
Yes.
That's what's really, really great about where they're at. I'll be curious to see, can, you know, Rashee Rice basically keep up this kind of workload all year? We just haven't seen it. I'm not saying he can't, but we haven't seen it yet in the NFL. They haven't asked him to do that. You know, can he, across an 18-game schedule, or 18-game schedule, can he put together that kind of, or 17-game schedule, 18-week, can he handle that kind of workload all year?
I mean, my gut says, yeah. Look, I like most things, I would be always a little bit more concerned if, I don't know, it was like he was Sky Moore size. I mean, Rashee
Rice. Or
Xavier
Worthy. Yeah. I hear you.
Rashee, like, if there's
he's
a
bigger one, receiver,
he's built like Anquan. I mean, if you're built like that, you probably be okay. You probably can handle a few snaps. Like, I understand that, like, he landed on the ball for a second, and for a moment, we're all like,
yeah, I think he just got the wind knocked out of him.
Oh, please. Yeah, and I agree with you there. But so, yeah, I'm not overly concerned about that right now. What is, though, is they still have a lot of room to grow in the offense. They just do. Like, but the problem is that we'll still never get the full compliment until we get Pacheco back. Like, Hollywood, that might be a whole season-long thing. I'm not counting on that being a portion of this year's offense. But I do want to see the Pacheco and Kelce kind of back on the same page with Rashee Rice. Because all the other secondary guys, they're doing what they're supposed to do. Just be available when you need you, Justin Watson. Sky Moore was in on a lot of blocking plays and a lot of third down plays yesterday. They obviously trust him to handle some of those. Same with Juju Smith-Schuster. Cool. Do all the gritty work because we're throwing it to Rashee Rice. And eventually we're throwing it to Kelce. We're not throwing it to all young, but you're going to have to do your job anyway. Sorry.
That was kind of the perfect Juju Smith-Schuster game for where he's at in his career and what they're going to ask him for. Hey, we're going to ask you to block a lot. You're one of the best blocking receivers in football. Wide receiver screens, we think this is an effective option for us throughout the game. We're going to get Rashee Rice the ball in space. We just mentioned the yards after the catch.
Yeah, number one in the NFL.
He did that. And then, we'll have one. We think we have one play scripted up for you. We're gonna kind of run a little pick play and get you wide open, and we're not going to ask you to do much after the catch. What do you, it ran like 6 yards after the catch, if that, something like that. And he gets a touchdown. Like that should be what you are hoping for out of Juju at sporadic times throughout the season. He's not going to get a touchdown a week, but that's right there another sign of the Brett Veach signing, bringing him back in. Mm-hmm. How great of a move that was.
Yeah, just needed another. Well, and it ended up being perfect timing because at the time, they did not know at the time that Hollywood Brown was going to miss the amount of time he is. He just was a good depth signing who protected you a little bit. And I would say that that went well, obviously, overall.
All right, let's get to it. So every Monday, the audio fun bag from the weekend. Let's start in the NFL, shall we?
Sure.
The Las Vegas Raiders, they go down to Andy Dalton and the Carolina Panthers. And they didn't just lose. Yeah, they got beat up. The Panthers were the better team throughout the entire game. And then you have Antonio Pierce after the game.
I think as the game went on, I think there was definitely some individuals that made business decisions. And we'll make business decisions going forward as well.
Okay. He's a no-nonsense coach. We knew that. I will say, though, 3 weeks into the season, already being like, all right.
Business decisions.
You know?
Against the Panthers?
You know?
They got warped.
Now, I take that as, all right, is that meaning some guys are going to get, you know, a lot of people took that as, oh, so you're trading Davante Adams in a couple weeks. That's Jets fans' dream. Understandably so. I just took that as there are going to be some players that are not going to be starting whoever they're playing Sunday. Whoever
the Jones, the corner, who clearly just kind of like bailed out of any kind of run tackling. Yeah, that's probably the answer. Let's stay in the NFL.
Okay.
There was a alarm that went off in the Packers post game. This is, of course, where Matt LaFleur talked a little bit about it, saying that they were always prepared.
Happy for our guys and proud of their effort. Whatever, keep going, keep firing away. They told me that this city was going to burn if we came in here and won the game, so I guess it is.
God, that's a pretty good dig, isn't it? For off the cuff, you got to admit, look, that's pretty solid.
There's two of the Coach of the Year candidates reside in the NFC North. Kevin O'Connell and the Vikings, and what Matt LaFleur's doing with
Malik Willis.
I mean, a very specific game plan. He's referencing Nashville, by the way. The Titans lost to the Packers yesterday, and they've been really impressed. And this time, it wasn't like Josh Jacobs ran for 200 yards again. This one was their defense. Malik Willis, 202 yards
and
a touchdown.
Made a couple of nice throws.
202 yards and a touchdown, and he had 73 on the ground. They're doing what they have to do with that quarterback. I think Jordan Love is expected back this next week, but they're 2-1. They avoided worst case scenario injury wise with Jordan Love, and they've also found a way to win some games. And Tennessee Titans are 0-3. Maybe we underestimate. We've talked so much about the Panthers or the Patriots number one, number two pick. The Titans might have a top three pick. They might. Shedeur Sanders might be the quarterback of the Tennessee Titans next year.
Whoever's going to be number one overall, and I don't think it should be Shedeur, but if
he wants to go there,
wants warm weather, right? That's warm enough weather.
Well, no. I think Dion wants him. Remember, it's Dion making the decisions. It's not Shedeur saying, "Hey, Dad, I want to play."
Big
here,
win for them against Baylor. Who do they beat?
They did.
Yeah, Baylor.
Final
was really
seconds.
Good win.
Yeah, final seconds. That was big. They got three wins. They got three. They get UCF this weekend. Talk about 50-50. It's going to be like a 55-50 game.
So I found a piece of audio for the audio fun bag that I thought was about perfect because, we haven't yet done, even though I think we will at some point this season, a little What's Your Fantasy, where we give you some fantasy advice on a Wednesday. But somebody really broke down the NFL season. And I'll be honest, it is way more sexual than you thought.
Starts to come and then he pulls out.
You have to like when there's a guy coming right in your face and he just sits in there and delivers it.
Guys. Coming down his face.
Feeling is the Cowboys probably coming right down their throats.
Tyrell Williams. He beats.
Needed two thrusts to get it in.
Bynes has been coming all night long, but then he pulls out and it's just hard. It's been a while since he's seen a hole that big. He almost didn't know what to do. Got 5 inches on him, but somebody's going to get that gobbler at the end of this game, too.
This was put together by a TikTok user.
Aikman was featured heavily throughout.
This was put together by a TikTok user. Just talking about, what the hell am I watching when I'm watching the NFL?
And that's just the first couple weeks.
Those are real calls from this year's NFL season.
Wow. And Troy Aikman, four of those were from Aikman.
Uh-huh.
Jeez.
Like, I don't... I guess I don't hear it in the moment. I'll say that because
it just sounds like normal football
when you're.
If you watch football, you're used to hearing them talk about going through the hole or finding the hole.
You know, slightly different energy. You know what we should finish with for the audio fun bag? How about the guy who talked to you earlier? Talked to us on the show earlier. Yeah. Caller John.
Caller John, 913-586-7965. We had a listener wanted to talk about the officiating, and he wasn't happy about it, and he said the Chiefs get all the calls, and we'll get to the rest of his call here.
Yes, the Chiefs always get the advantage. I'm going to tell you this right now.
Okay.
You guys win the three-peat, you're not winning the four. Rice is getting suspended probably the whole year next year.
Okay.
Kelsey's cooked. He really is. He's too much in love with Taylor. She needs to go away. I'm just sick of the Chiefs getting every call. It's just ridiculous.
Who's the team you root for? I'm curious now. I'll let you finish. Sorry, John. Who's the team you root for?
The team I root for? I root for the Bills.
Okay. Makes more sense. Continue. Sorry.
Yeah, it's just I think it's going to be a test when, you know, they go to Buffalo. I think Buffalo is actually going to beat them because the refs are not going to be on two saver. I mean, that's just what I think, you know.
Hey. Okay.
But I wish you guys luck. I think you guys are probably going to get the three-peat, but I don't think you're getting the four.
Again, I just don't think that's an insult.
Only a Bills
John.
Fan.
I like John. He sounds
Bills
like a nice
insult.
Dude. You know?
Shout out to John.
John sounds like a nice guy. It's just not much of an insult.
No other fan in the NFL is saying that you're going to win the three, and then you might not win four. I don't think they're giving you the three either. Chiefs get all the calls, huh? That was the conversation on social media last night.
Of course it was. It's just the, you know, the confidence of like, look, you guys are going to three-peat, do something that's never been done in NFL history, put yourself in elite company, but damn it, you're not getting that fourth.
Come on, John. Say that the Chiefs would lose to the Bills, and you know, say something. Say the Bills are going to go to the Super Bowl because they're going to beat the Chiefs. Say something.
So ridiculous.
Throw a major swipe.
You know what? But he's real. You know what? I think sometimes when one team dominates a lot, Gold, you just become a realist. You're like, you know, I'll let you get that three-peat, okay? But four, okay, that's...
Against the Bills in particular.
That's where I draw the line. It's like when you're really not being all that firm with your kid. You'd be like, I said 5 more minutes on that iPad. They're like, I just started your game. You're like, I don't... Fine, just hang it for another 5 minutes. It depends on your mood, right? Depends on whether or not you're standing on business. You will take that trade, though. You'll take a three-peat this
year. Yes, I'll guarantee the Chiefs doing something that's never happened in NFL history if it means that in 2025 they can't win the Super Bowl. Yes, by the way... Deep down, I think there's people in the organization that would take that as well if you got to the honest answer from them.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. The Audio Fun Bag here on a Monday.
Thanks, Troy Aikman. Whoops.
Heavily
Someone says you are fired.
Fired? I mean, anybody could have played that. They don't. I mean, there's cameras on us, but prove that it was me. Could have been Drew. Could have been
Could have been. It could have been.
Could have been Carrington. Actually, I think it was Carrington. I think he came in here and pressed space bar. Technically, the person at fault.
Okay.
It was me. I don't really care. I don't think I'd get in that much trouble for it. We were talking, someone asked earlier, said, hey, can you give us an update on the division and where things stand in the AFC West? I was like, well, I don't know why you need an update. I'll break it down for you real quick. The Broncos stink, even though they got a win. They still stink. The Raiders stink worse. I don't know, the same. They're also terrible. They have no chance to win the division. The Chargers gave their fans some life a little bit there for 2 weeks. And then, because they played bad opponents, and then they no-showed against the Steelers before Herbert got re-injured. I could not believe they even risked it with Justin Herbert. I thought it was a bad idea before the game, only proven to be worse. If you were up against the number one pass rush in the NFL and your guy's got a high ankle sprain, and you know that they're capped out at 20 points, why on earth are you starting Justin Herbert the week before a divisional game against the Kansas City Chiefs, a team that has beat you every year, every time, for years? Why would you do that to yourselves? Is that not seeing the big picture? Is this just like old Harbaugh, hard-nosed football guy? Like, what's the point?
I don't think it was they're just trying to prove that they're tough football guy. I think it was Justin Herbert was cleared by the doctors. He felt like it was more of a pain tolerance thing and was able to play through it. Ultimately, it got to a point where he felt he couldn't play through it anymore. And so they pulled him from the game. I don't know if it is so much that like he necessarily made things 100 times worse. I think he thought he could play through it and did for a half. And then it got the pain tolerance became an issue for him because it, you know, it probably did get aggravated.
Looked like
playing
it got
the NFL.
Up on. Yeah.
Yeah. And so now, was there a setback? We're going to find out throughout this week. Or now maybe they realize that it's worth resting him a little bit longer. But that's two injuries already for Herbert. Ankle sprain, the plantar fasciitis that he was dealing with preseason that kept him out of all preseason, I guess I should say.
Yeah.
for a team that, you know, the divisional game is more important. I hear you, but maybe they viewed it as, hey, they know they got the Chiefs coming up, and it's like, hey, we think we can beat, you know, we think we can get the Steelers here. And
so
then,
let's get to 3-0. But 3-0 doesn't mean anything. It's one game.
Well, they're 2-1. They're about to be 2-2. So,
like, if you lose that game, let's just say you're not even taking a loss. The Steelers have limited offensive ability. So if you can get to 20 points with Taylor Heinicke, you would have had a chance. You couldn't. But, like, let's just say you take that loss. Well, then if you save Justin Herbert for the game, well, then you give yourself a chance to be 3-1 all the same. And then you got another divisional game against the Broncos. So now, on the road against the Broncos, at home against the Chiefs, you've now risked. Why are you doing that? For one game against the Pittsburgh Steelers? And Harbaugh definitely seems like the kind of guy who's like, I'm going to win. It's in college. You don't have to win week 3. Doesn't impact your ability to get in the college football playoff. None of that matters. It's one game versus Justin Herbert's health for the entire season. He had suffered an injury before the season. He has regularly missed time due to injury. Why would you risk a high ankle sprain in week 3 with the Chiefs coming to town? Look, it's great news. If you're a Chiefs fan, I guess you shouldn't really care, because I feel like it's at best a 50-50 shot that Justin Herbert's available for this game on Sunday at this point, because he was a game time decision for the last one and he just got re-injured. Like, what are the odds I think he's going to get his ankle ready for that one? And same rule applies that if they somehow get him ready, all it takes is one guy kind of falling into his leg again, and then where are you? Hurt.
I was going to say he's going to be a statue if he plays.
And Slater also, like, Bosa and Slater also left that game.
Yeah, that's the other part.
Joe Alt's been very good, but Slater was out.
Yeah. They've got multiple players. It's the same old story, though. I mean, how many times have we been early in the year, guys, whether the Chiefs were getting ready to play them or not, and we're sitting here and we're looking at that injury report for the Chargers, and it's a long laundry list of players that are either questionable, already ruled out, did not practice all week, and it's usually, and sometimes it's the same players. Bosa's back on there, as you said. Like, it doesn't matter who the coach is, man. This is another regime, another coach, and they're dealing with the same kind of stuff.
Yes. Doesn't really. What is with the medical staff? Is it just cursed? LA sun too bright? Like, what the hell's going on? Someone said Herbert's going to get a pain shot in his foot. It'll puncture his lung somehow, and then his season will be over.
Jeez.
If you don't remember the Tyrod Taylor story from a few years ago.
That was crazy.
Before Justin Herbert started. And yeah, someone's right. Bosa is always hurt. He's an injury-prone player. But Slater's been really healthy. And now they're without him. It's like you risk too much. You risk too much. Because if you lose the next two games against the Chiefs and the Broncos in the division, well, then you've kissed the AFC West goodbye, all because you were trying to get one win against the Steelers. I told you earlier, I think it's coaching malpractice.
Coming up next, we'll get to what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Plus, one thing that wasn't very good a year ago for this defense, but has given us a lot of hope already just 3 weeks into the season.
What's trending?
Number one on what's trending. We heard from Andy Reid a little bit earlier on today, right here on 96.5 The Fan. Luckily, injury-wise, nothing new. There was no injuries coming out of last night's win. Andy did say, though, the plan moving forward will be to continue to have Wanya Morris as the team's starting left tackle, and nobody should be surprised by that based off of his performance. Give him credit. I'm not saying he, like, put together an all-pro performance, but he was fine. He held his own for the most part, and you weren't noticing him. That's always a good thing as a left tackle. So that's where things sit. And later on in the week, it'll be interesting to hear from Andy again about Kareem Hunt and if they envision him being available for the Chargers game. We kind of saw the running back split, though, on Sunday night. You know, first half, it was Perine and Steele almost 50-50. Then Andy went with the hot hand in the second half. So could Kareem Hunt work himself into the picture by the end of this week? We'll see.
Yeah, better idea of that. But, I mean, we talked about what we knew ahead of time, which was Carson Steele could essentially make sure he's the main starter of that job. And I mean, he had 17 carries for 72 yards, held up okay in pass protection. Hard to make the argument that he lost the job based on yesterday's performance, sure. That's for sure. Next up on Watch Trending, the Royals losing streak reaches 7 after a 2-0 loss to the Giants yesterday. They're off today, thank goodness. They start a series against the Nationals tomorrow. As you reminded earlier, their number one young player on the team is sent back down to AAA after he was caught at 8 a.m. at a casino the day before.
On a heater.
The morning of a day game on an absolute heater. But it's reached 7. They're currently in a playoff spot. They have a one-game lead on the Minnesota Twins. They're actually tied for the second wild card spot, still with the tiebreaker in their favor over the Detroit Tigers. But, I mean, yeah, it's buckle up time, I guess. to say the very least. We'll talk more about that series tomorrow. But yeah, the Royals losing streak reaches 7, but still currently in a playoff spot.
Next up on What's Trending, we know just news around the NFL, finding out some injury news with a couple teams, including the Cleveland Browns, who just lost to the New York Giants yesterday. Bad news for them. Miles Garrett dealing with some pain from his feet now to his lower legs. He's undergoing MRI today. His snap count has already decreased due to a foot injury, but now maybe it's expanded from there. Things are not great, to say the least, in Cleveland. They should have won that game against the Giants, and Deshaun Watson, that offense, got nothing going. Amari Cooper got kind of knocked out late in that game, too. Cleveland, Kevin Stefanski, good luck.
I know the money, man. Just start Jameis and get it over with. Next up on What's Trending, the Big 12 announces that CBS will air more of their college basketball games through 2026 and the 2027 season after getting a sub-licensing agreement over with ESPN. This is actually really good news for the Big 12, who's tried to pivot themselves to we're the number one basketball conference in the country, we're about basketball amidst all the realignment stuff. Getting more of your games on CBS instead of ESPN Plus, objectively a good thing for the Big 12.
The one thing I was trying to read this too, do we know if this is like a CBS Sports Network or like actual CBS?
They made it sound like actual CBS.
Because CBS Sports Network is
a little of both.
I think it's CBS because they do games. That's like huge, they do games with the Big Ten and the SEC a lot.
More about actual CBS, the sub-licensing to the actual network.
Yeah, if that's the case, that's awesome.
Like Nance, Kellogg, Bill Raftery.
That's big time if that's really what that is, and it's not just throwing them on CBS.
Because you remember
Network.
CBS ran and still does a lot of Big Ten basketball games. They want the better basketball product. If they're going to run it live on a Saturday afternoon, the better consistent basketball product in college basketball is the Big 12.
That is What's Trending here on Cody and Gold. One thing, go back, you mentioned during What's Trending, the Royals, someone said the best thing for them is to finish the season on the road. They're obviously pressing at home. As we said, there are no bad ideas anymore. They have lost 7 in a row.
They called Drew Waters.
Everything's on the table. It really doesn't matter at this point. Anything. It doesn't have to make sense. The lineup, like, well, this guy should be leading off. I'm open to any idea. Hell, normally you wouldn't do it, but if you want to say lead off Bobby Witt Jr. just to mix it up, I'm all here for that, too. I don't care. That would not be normally something you do in today's day and age of baseball.
Six games left before
a
playoff push.
All of a sudden, you want to lead off Bobby Witt Jr. just because? Sure. Everything should be on the table when you are looking like you're on the verge of the worst collapse for a playoff run in a while. In your franchise history, yes, but in baseball, it's been a bit since we've had a team with the lead the Royals had that would collapse with this short amount of games to go.
I mean, it's borderline like 10 cup stuff. Like, put all the T's in your left pocket, put your hat backwards. Like, the offense has the yips. Do anything. I don't care if, like, for the first at bat tomorrow, Tommy Pham's going to hit from the other side of the plate. You're like, but he's not a switch hitter. Or, you know, in his case.
No, I get you.
Like,
yeah.
Bobby Witt Jr. is going to from the left side. You're like, that doesn't make any sense. For one at bat, he's going to do it, damn it, because something has to change. The game has to be fun again for you for a minute. Because right now, as I've told you, I think if they get the win tomorrow, they are going to the playoffs. And I think it might be as simple as if they get the win tomorrow, they are. And if they don't, they aren't. And it's just like that feeling of confidence and putting that all behind you or anything else can completely move the needle. Someone earlier today suggested calling up Zach Greinke to hit. I mean, he wouldn't even be eligible for the postseason roster. But sure, if I wouldn't really think it was funny if for one at bat tomorrow, Zach Greinke hit ninth.
Yeah.
I know they can't do that. It's a serious team with real playoff hopes. But they got to find a way to just shake it.
We were talking about CJ Abrams from the Nationals who got sent down because he was at a casino till 8 a.m. or whatever. But honestly, normally you would not want anything. Take him out to the club, man. Take him out to the club. Whatever you need to do. Eric Hosmer tweeted last night. He said, get the boys to DC, get the boys to a show dinner, get the boys some seafood towers and steak, get the boys to a big screen to watch 15 and 87. Be great tonight. This was last night. If all this happens, we win. Most importantly, the steak. Winners eat steak.
Okay.
That's from Eric Hosmer.
I do think that there's some there is some, you got to find a way to get it off of your mind for a minute. It's way easier said than done.
Thank goodness the Twins stink. The Twins are the reason why we're not talking about them already being out of the playoff picture.
Correct. Because the Twins have played just as bad. Yeah. Someone said, how is this not worse than the Twins collapse? No, they're equally bad. The Royals one's not worse. They're both just awful. The Royals one looks weirder because they have 2 7-game losing streak versus the Twins who just keep losing 7 out of every 10 games. They're not doing it consecutively. They're just losing the same amount.
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
They actually had a bigger lead than the Royals. They were several games up on the Royals, who are now ahead of them. Technically, the Twins' collapse in September is worse. But that's the whole point. It's that just get a win tomorrow so we can all just feel good on Wednesday, please. I'm begging.
One thing on a more positive end, let's talk about the Chiefs. And last year, they were one of the worst teams, bottom 10, against the run. It was a struggle. That was the one Achilles heel of this defense that was so great last year. You could run on them. That was the thing you kind of were like, all right, I'm going to have to live with that. 3 weeks in, small sample size, but it is what it is. Derrick Henry, 3.5 yards per carry. Zach Moss, 2.8. Last night, Robinson, 1.9 yards per carry. This defense this season is trending way better than they were a year ago against the run, to the point where this could end up being a strength. Let's see what happens over the next couple of weeks. But right now, how do you make your secondary look better without having L'Jarius Sneed? How do you mask maybe some other areas that aren't quite as strong? Well, you're going to play two high safeties more than anybody in football anyway, yep. Which is what they're doing.
That's what everyone's doing.
And nobody's really getting the deep passes down the field. So your run defense should be a little bit better. And that's what we've seen. It helps when you have Nick Bolton, of course, coming up. And he's as good of a run thumper as anybody. We saw the game-sealing tackle in the backfield to win it for Kansas City. But this is a really good development right now, guys. One thing to talk about the defense and what they can be as a whole and what they're going to do without L'Jarius Sneed. But against the run, they are much better already than a year ago.
Yes. I mean, honestly, I think it's pretty – I don't know if it's safe to say, but doesn't it seem fairly obvious right now that that's going to be the hallmark of this defense? That they found a – we talked a lot of time about, oh, what are they going to do against what are they going to do with no L'Jarius Sneed? How are they going to cover these additional guys, et cetera, et cetera? And now instead of doing that, they have found some way, goal, to be really good against the run instead. And once you've got one part of the job down, well, then everything's just a little bit easier in the sense that you can operate inside of your normal system. We know what we're good at. We'll be good at that no matter what we do. And then we'll operate outside of that. You know what's funny about this is the entire theme of the NFL this year. What's happened here, and I told you, which I think is going to shift here in about 4 weeks. So we'll see the Chiefs. They're going to have to make an adjustment. The NFL is daring teams to run because technically the value you're getting out of the run isn't good enough to justify it. So right now, it looks like running's easier. It's not effective enough that it actually justifies teams continuing to do it that way instead of simply just running. Instead of just passing.
Yeah.
So if they don't make the shift soon, Chiefs might have to readjust. But I don't care. Spags will do that. Yesterday, they gave up 2 touchdowns in the first half, and then what did they give up, Cole, the rest of the way? A field goal? Singular? One? What do they do in the second half in the last two? I mean, every time. They're outscoring their opponents because their defense is better in the second half than everyone else.
Spags. I mean, every week, I feel like we're like, hey, remember, yeah, you know, this is what he does. This is what he does every single season. One, we know the defense as a whole gets better, but in games, yes, the Falcons, like I'm sure will happen with the Chargers if Herbert's playing. First drive, they might get you. They had all week to game plan as well. They're smart people as well. They find a mismatch they like, a way to confuse you, which is what the Falcons did. Miscommunication caused you to have that. But then you settle in. Then you make adjustments. And the Falcons, that wide receiver screen they were running to Mooney, did not work in the second half the way it worked in the first half. And that miscommunication only happened one time.
A lot of tackles in the backfield on that Mooney
tackling
pass.
Was pretty good. Tackling was pretty good yesterday for Kansas City as well. And so
the one that I thought was going to cost him was the Connor missed tackle in the middle of the field right before the fourth down stop.
Yeah. Drake London or whatever.
Drake London's he was broken right tackle.
I mean, yes. Yeah. And luck. I mean, thank goodness he's a yard short there. And then we all know the rest is history. They're come up short the next play and then the fourth down stop as well. That's the other thing with the Falcons. I think we both agree that as the season gets going further, they're probably going to get more of 100% Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins used to do QB sneaks, but they won't do it. It makes more sense why they won't do it with their quarterback right now, Cody. He's coming off the Achilles. But that same thing. Why not bring in Michael Penix if you're the Falcons for that one play?
QB sneak it. But we talked about this.
If they do QB sneak, if Kirk Cousins is not coming off an Achilles injury, they go QB sneak and they probably get it. Let's just be honest.
Because teams are too stubborn. This goes back to a theory I've mentioned on the show a million times. Groupthink. No team in the NFL brings in some dude just to QB sneak it, and they're foolish. Because the first team to figure it out, the team who doesn't want to use their
Browns did yesterday. Yeah, it didn't work.
The team who doesn't.
Jameis Winston came in and they stuffed him. But anyway, go ahead.
Damn it, really?
Yeah. Yesterday, Deshaun Watson got pulled on the it was like a 4th-and-1 or whatever, and they tried the QB sneak with Jameis. It didn't work. But anyway, go ahead.
But you get the. I still think it'll work more times than it won't. But it's still like the Chiefs, right? They had the inches play that they went for and got barely with Carson Steele. But they got it. So, you know, you didn't make the wrong call. QB sneak maybe barely gets it too. But if you really don't want to sneak, they are 2 of 6 inside the 2 yard line by the goal line. 2 of 6. That's how many times. So jeez. 4 times inside the 2 yard line, they are not putting the ball in the end zone. Are you sure that Carson Wentz wouldn't have gotten at least 3 if you just ran him under center and ran a QB sneak? Are you sure you wouldn't get at least 3? I'm confident you'd get at least 3. I think you probably get 4 or 5. And that's the problem I have with it, is that you're so dead set out of taking the ball out of Patrick Mahomes' hands. You can't possibly conceive the fact that this would be the case. But the high percentage play is a high percentage play. I don't care who's running it. They were more willing to do it seemingly with guys like Blake Bell than with the quarterback. Like somehow it sends a message. Nobody thinks Mahomes can't do it. We just think you're too afraid to let him.
Correct.
But nobody thinks Mahomes is incapable.
As I said, but yet, not that this is why it didn't work here, but you know, yet they'll have Mahomes go in motion at wide receiver. We know you're not throwing the ball to Patrick Mahomes. You won't even let him do a QB sneak.
Yeah. And then he almost got hurt kneeling down.
That was weird.
That scared me for a second. Yeah, anybody else get like a little nervous for a second?
This crappy indoor turf stuff. I mean, that's he said in postgame. His foot kind of got caught on the turf.
Like,
but for a half second, I was like, uh-oh. Oh, and then Collinsworth is like, oh, he's shaking out his knee. I'm like, oh, gosh.
He was making me terrified.
No, he's fine, obviously. But, yeah, I think his foot got caught in the turf. The turf, it's the issue with McDuffie. The first second play from scrimmage, he slipped. He was trying to – Mooney had him beat anyway. But but still, he slipped. It looked like he slipped on the turf. I just think that's always an adjustment for them. But, yeah, Mahomes, I will say, though, yes, it was scary for a half second. But he could not have timed out the kneel down better. I mean, even a little thing like that is just like – impressive. It sounds so simple, like just take a knee.
Like how long did he count?
They would have had a punt it or done something else. Instead,
punts can still get blocked. Now, in this case, you would just on fourth down, you would just
run around probably.
Yeah, for 2 seconds.
But the fact that they timed it out perfectly, they didn't have to take another knee.
Did you see? This is not because I'll say just like blaming the refs. If you like, I like to sports wager. Gold likes to sport. We all do it. Drew had some touchdown bets, right? We all bet on the show, so it's not that. But when you start blaming like weak losses on things, so I saw the people who were mad about Devin Singletary because that was the under.
Oh, he
Devin
slid
Singletary
down
slid
one.
Down the one. Happens all the time. That's part of the game. He's just running at the clock. Patrick Mahomes' kneel downs, his negative 8 yards on the final 3 plays, hit his rushing under.
You have to factor that stuff in.
Hit his rushing under. Don't blame it.
Yeah,
it sucks. It's the part of betting, but damn it, that's hurt. Because somebody bet the under and hooray.
I know. Yeah, like, so that one's not like, it's a bad beat, sure. But we've all seen like this. This has happened plenty of times now.
Kneel downs are a part of it.
Since like betting has been legal, a quarterback losing his rushing over has each season. There's probably 6+ instances where a quarterback takes a knee and you lose the over.
This was particularly bad because it was.
You have to factor that in. Like in the Super Bowl, it was something when we discussed prop bets for Mahomes too. Like, hey, if you think they're going to win, there's a chance they're going to take a knee at the end of the game or whatever. Of course, this game, it didn't happen. They got a walk-off touchdown overtime against the Niners. Sure. But typically, like you that's part of the bet. You have to factor that in, man. That's the risk of taking
a non-quarterback.
It was just even
more yardage because of the way he didn't normally kneel.
Yes.
Like, if he just gets 3 normal kneels, you actually still win your over bet. But because he needed to kill 3 or 4 additional seconds, you lost 2 or 3 additional yards that cost you the under. It sucks. It's the part of sports where you're just tough. Like... Because we've all won bets like that too. Yeah, just no business winning. Ball gets kicked up in the air a million times and somehow it lands in the grasp of your guy. I mean, just as unlikely of a win have happened too, but like
totally.
That one was brutal. I think people were mad a little bit because ESPN Bet had sent out a screenshot of this being like, and the total was this. I think that they were worried that like ESPN reposted it. And there were some people who were complaining, saying that they were suggesting ESPN thought that like Singletary knew the total, and you're like, no one thinks that.
ESPN does a bad beat segment. They just start just leaning into the entertainment fun of that happening. Yeah, like
I did lose one bet one time to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Andy decided to, with 40 seconds left in a game, run a toss play to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He lost 8 yards on the play, and he went under his total by 2 yards.
That's a sickening. That's worse than the Mahomes one.
That was 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, that's gross.
I was like, of all the plays, you're running a pitch
toss play to the outside. What's the verdict here? What's the most recent? Any new polling data you got for me on whether or not we're going to get?
Yeah, I mentioned last week.
I thought updated from that one.
There's not polls every week.
I want even newer polls.
This isn't a presidential election. We don't get polling every week.
I am seeing more ads, I guess, on television for
you're right here on the station.
As well as you.
I mean, it's on the ballot. The lawsuit failed. It's going to be on the ballot for legalizing sports wagering in Missouri. And folks in Missouri in early November, when you go to the ballot box to vote on everything else, you also have a question for Amendment 2. And we've talked about, obviously, that issue for years now, man. This is many years in the making. So polling is good so far, but you never know.
We'll see. There are two games tonight. Let's talk.
The doubleheader. Do you like it? I love it.
I like it better now than week two, because the appeal of the doubleheader is like yesterday, right? We're in the 3:25 slate. Most of those games stunk.
They stunk. The Ravens Cowboys game was supposed to be much better. It wasn't. Yeah,
they stunk. So but Ravens Cowboys game got interesting.
It did.
So if you give me enough football games, I might find an interesting one. That's what I like about the doubleheader.
Bills Jags.
I won't watch both. If you give me one that ends up being good, I'll watch one of the good ones.
Bills Jags. I mean, right now Buffalo looks like the second best team in the AFC. So I'm curious about that to begin with. Jacksonville's in a desperate spot here. Can they pull off a surprise? And then, of course, Cincinnati, they haven't won a game yet. Will they look like they should? They're going up against the Commanders with a rookie quarterback. They have
looked
no business.
Looked a lot better last week against the Chiefs than week one.
You know, no business losing that game, but they also lost to the Patriots week one. So we'll see. I hope they're just close games. I'm hoping it also feels like they both have blowout potential, but hopefully not.
Most of this week in the NFL, the Jags win, the Bengals win. The way week three in the NFL has gone this week, somehow the 2-0 team will lose to the 0-2 team because, of course, and somehow Trevor Lawrence will look like his best all season. And then Cincinnati, some of the other 0-2 teams like the Ravens, will find a way to scratch out a win that's a little harder than it maybe needed to be, but still find a way to win like what happened with the Ravens. That's how I predict these two games going today, because the NFL seems like it's got waves week to week. And once you kind of know what the theme of the week is, you get a sense of it. I'm not actually calling it rigged, but it just feels like that's the way the NFL ebbs and flows.
Yeah, I mean, anybody that's been playing Survivor knows how crazy this has been the first couple weeks of the season. Like yesterday, the Bucs were the most popular pick in most people's Survivors. They lose to the Broncos. Not just lose, they got beat up. Of course, Cleveland, we mentioned them with Deshaun Watson a second ago. Cleveland loses to the Giants. That was more of a coin flippy game, but still. And then we just talked about the Raiders earlier today. Raiders go up against Andy Dalton, and he has 330 yards and a 3-touchdown performance. Crazy.
Drew, if Cincinnati loses tonight, they're done, right? Even you would have to admit that the season's over?
He said he'll shave his head.
Pack it up.
Get rid of the haircut already.
Yes. That Cincinnati is done. If they lose tonight, season's over.
0-3 with losses to the Commanders and Patriots.
A single team, one, has ever started 0-3 and made the postseason.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Dude, one?
So you're saying...
You think you're going to be the second?
I hope the Commanders cover, make it interesting tonight, but I don't... I mean, from what we've seen so far from Jaden Daniels, it hasn't been great.
He was pretty good last week, but...
But running, but not passing.
He only had like 7 incompletions last week and threw for 200 yards. I thought he was all right. Bo Nix had a great QBR, by the way.
Bo Nix played really good yesterday. Bo Nix did play good yesterday.
A nice game.
But yeah, I think tonight's going to be... It'll either be really close or it's going to be the Bengals actually show up the way that they need to, and it's going to be like the Houston-Minnesota game. I would like to see that. The Bengals haven't had a game like that in a long time.
No excuses anymore. You guys got T. Higgins coming back tonight as well. No excuses.
I think T. Higgins scoring a touchdown is a...
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, that might be a... Or Jamar Chase, because he's going to be...
I think the first thing
he's not going to be double-teamed anymore.
Give Zach Moss the ball less and give it to Chase Brown more.
That would help. And then, yes, Drew, T. Higgins being back probably leads to Jamar Chase having a big night. It feels kind of that way.
Yeah, I would think so.
Get things stabilized out in Cincy.
But what a weird, I like the doubleheader? What a weird, just like week three random Monday night doubleheader.
They announced they were going to do this for. Yeah, there's a few other times in the season they're sprinkling. I like the Monday night football doubleheaders.
The fact that they stagger the times, I think
that's what's nice about it. I don't want them starting at the same time.
Yeah.
About a half apart?
I mean, it's going to be 45 minutes, I believe, in between.
Mm-hmm.
The start of, but by the way, the Bengals game tonight's a blackout. Again, theme nights. Come on now, NFL. Theme nights. By the way, Memphis,
that theme
USF,
watch party in the stadium went great.
Memphis, USF, and Tulane staying in the American said no to the Pac-12 today. And UTSA.
Someone from the American Conference.
That's why I'm telling you, it's a sideways move. There's no reason for them to move.
Yep.
Go after NDSU.
I guess you're right. North Dakota State and all of them are all just going to the Pac-12 now. In the
They have to come up with two more teams.
There's plenty of other teams to get to before they have to ask North Dakota State.
Utah State, not as good of an option, in my opinion. Maybe for basketball, though.
I don't know. There was a report
that they might go after... Well, UTSA staying in the American as well. They said no.
We'll see.
We'll see how realignment goes. If we've learned anything from realignment, just because someone makes a decision in October or September doesn't mean come March they're changed their mind on their decision. All right, up next, CDOT, The Drive, right here on 96.5 The Fan.